Come, Holy Spirit, our helper, our advocate. Open our hearts and minds this day. Entice us with your presence. Spark us with the word of life. All this we ask in the name of God, who creates, redeems, and sustains us. Amen. Amen. The scripture for this morning is taken from the Gospel of John, which was written about, we think, 90 to 120 years after the death of Jesus and resurrection. So when we look at the Gospel of John, what we need to remember is Matthew, Mark, and Luke were in front of John. And so we know that these things influenced him to write this gospel. This is the gospel. If you look at the Matthew, which is not the first one, Mark is first ever written. All he wanted to do was tell a story about Jesus, the man he knew when he was a young child growing up. Matthew wanted to make sure that we all knew he was of the generation of David, because the Old Testament says he was to be related to David. Luke comes around and he writes about, I'm going to start with his birth, pronouncing his birth. He actually, prior to his birth, this is the only, in Luke, is the only Christmas story we have. If you haven't noticed, we don't read any Christmas story scripture during Christmas, only from Luke. Now, John, he says, I'm not going to put Jesus at the birth of Jesus or the pre-announcement or the lineage of David. He says, I'm going to write that in a way that Jesus was there at the beginning. The Word was God. Remember that story, right? So now we're reading a portion of his scripture, chapter 14. And it reads as follows. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will abide in me. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you in a little while, and the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On the day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and those who love me will also be loved by the Father. And I love them and reveal myself to them. This is the Word of God.
Thanks be to God.
You know, you always hope that when you open up this computer, it's going to work. That's called faith. Okay, who took my sermon away? Let's see. life, death, and in between birth and death. This is all about God. Life is all about God. Even Jesus says, let me teach you a prayer. He does not address himself. Do you remember the Lord's Prayer? How does it begin? Our Father who art in heaven. This is not, I want to pray to Jesus. Never mistake Jesus for God. Was God with him? Yes. We do not pray to Jesus because he said, you pray to God, because that's where he was, understood his life and said, I pray to God. So often, pastors who are educated, undereducated, and sometimes lay people address prayer to Jesus. And what we are called to do and reminded, like I am reminding all of us, is we don't pray to Jesus, we pray to God through Jesus. At the end of it all, we say, it is through the name of Jesus we pray. Just wanted to make sure that we're all on the same page. All of everything, what Jesus did and chose not to, is because of his calling. Have you ever known someone well enough that you would implicitly trust them? You have given me this mic, implicitly trusting that I would speak on behalf of Jesus, on behalf of God, on behalf of the Holy Spirit, and on behalf of the Scriptures. That's an implicit trust, and I will honor that and always have been. Thank you for asking me to preach. One of my highlights of my life is to interpret what the gospel is trying to say to us. Am I always right? Nope. I'm the first one to admit I might say something that might not be right, but you have every right to ask me. I remember one time I was standing back there and you made a beeline to me and I thought, oh my gosh, what did I say wrong? You may not remember, but I'll tell you if you do remember. He said, you know, Robbie, I have never heard a pastor say that I will not be alone in my death. You remember now, right? Yes. I had said that in my preaching, and since you came and said that was one of the best messages that you could ever hear, because we all think that we do death by ourselves. We do not. There is not a time, a place, a presence, lack thereof, that God leaves us alone to do what we need to do. Do we do death by ourselves without our family? Not really. Their love has sustained us. Their love will carry us to hold God's hand in between life and death. Being a chaplain, I face death every day. People who say, why is this happening to me? Why did this happen to my daughter, my sister? We are called not only to listen, but also to preach God's love as Jesus did, God's truth, that there is not a thing you can do or say in this world, as long as you're alive, that would keep God's love away from you. Think about that for just for a second. There's not a thing you can say or do that would keep God's love away from you. There's a guy named Jeffrey Dahmer. How many of you have heard of him? How many of you have seen probably a version of his movie? Okay. What the movie doesn't say, but what we know is there was only one person who went to see him every chance that she had. Do you know who that was? His mom. The horrific things that he did. She didn't agree with that, but she loved him anyway. That was her child. Think about one of your kids or grandkids. They can do horrendous things. Will that keep your love away from them? And why would God ever keep God's love away from us? I want to tell you a little bit about my story. Probably Loretta, who is preaching at another church in Ripley, won't hear this or see it. The first time I saw her picture is I was going through in seminary and looking at who's all the new students that are coming in. I saw her picture and I thought, oh my gosh, she's gorgeous. So it's usually this that gets us hooked. But that's not quite enough, because I had dated another woman earlier in my life in college. Blonde hair, green-eyed woman with hair a bit down to her waist. And I thought, I have arrived. She said, you just sit on the couch and I'll do everything for you. It was fine the first couple of weeks or so, or first few times that I saw her, but it was not okay. I thought, anything I say goes. I don't have a partner. I have a servant. I did not want a servant. I wanted someone that could stand with me while the weight of this world would come down on me or her. We would help each other live and do the best that we can. About four times that she went home, her adoptive parents. Actually, they were her aunt and uncle. Every time she went, off and on, they would ask, are you still dating that guy? That guy. And at one point, she disclosed and she said, they wanted to know how dark I was, because Indian people come in different colors, different shades. Everybody does. There are African Americans who are not all the same color. Not all white people are the same color. And she said, I think he's about medium. As if that's going to fly or not. Since I've taken what they call the Celcept, a medication that lightened my skin color. If you will take a look at that and my face, they're not the same shade. And if you want a closer look, you look me up after and I'll show you. It doesn't matter what's on the outside. It matters what's on the inside. Who has called you to the ministry of Christ? In this particular text, Jesus is a therapist to his disciples. He tells them that he will be not with them for too much longer. But there is a gift of the Holy Spirit as Jesus gave us, so that we would always know you don't have to have Jesus, but you do have to have, you have the Spirit of God. Again, all this has been told us to go back to God. Go back to God. Don't get stuck in the person who is presenting to you God. Jesus, in 3 years of ministry, he taught us how to pray, how to trust in God, how to treat a stranger and an enemy. He also taught us how to trust the Word. And lastly, but not least, to listen to people who preach, who teach, like I am doing now. This can't be all on my understanding of the Scriptures. There's probably 25, 30 people here. It's all up to us how we understand. We dialogue with each other to understand, what is God trying to tell me? We struggle with all kinds of different things in life. Sorry, I have to go back here and tell you why I brought my wife up in our conversation. It was 4 times that she broke up with me and kept wondering why she saw me at school, seminary, that she thought everything was fine until she went back to her adopted family, uncle and aunt. They talked her into how bad this is going to be for her. That even the church would not ordain her because she was going to date or is dating or might even marry this man who was medium brown. I wish they would just get to know me now. I can say from here down, I am really lighter. Not really. If a person cannot see this heart and soul, you have missed everything else. So the 5th time, I said, that's enough. You've broken up with me 4 times. That's enough for me. I'm going to break up with you because I cannot take this back and forth, back and forth. And we went separate ways. Then I dated another woman on campus. And as I was walking to my car, a Fiat, it only keeps itself warm. It doesn't have a heater that could warm you. And as I walk down the steps, there's Loretta sitting, and here I am with my date. I thought, oh my gosh, this whole evening is ruined already. That told me something. My heart was there and not here. It is important for us to reflect. I think someone who does not reflect only acts in the present and reacts to the present has not learned how to go back and look at their lives and how they had lived and what was good and what was not so good. We are not people who will always do good just because we have Christ in our lives. So what is faith? So what is that God wants that Jesus tried to teach us? As a chaplain, I pray, not always, because some people say, would you like for me to pray? They said, no, not really. Okay, I don't have to. And some people are like, oh, why did you have to ask me to pray? I expected a chaplain would pray. So we do this little bit of dance with faith, with prayer, and with God. Is there something that you pray for that you want from God? One of the questions I always ask, I mean, when I say always, it comes from my training as a chaplain. What is it that you want from God today? What do you want me to pray for? What's important for you in your life right now? The last woman I saw in the hospital, she said, my children. And I knew, as she knew, she had metastatic cancer. Since 2015, she had been afflicted with and diagnosed with cancer. Now it was like spreading like weed in her body. The first thing that comes out of her life is, can you pray for my daughter who is 15 and the other one is 18? Hasn't even graduated from high school yet. So many times people do not think of themselves, but they do think about what's important for them, who is important for them. And Jesus does the same thing. Who is important to God? You and me. And we're thinking, gosh, I'm in a little old country church in West Virginia. Well, no, you guys aren't country church, as you know. Where my wife is going, is preaching today, it is a little country church, a membership of 10 people. Jesus' friends get angry with him when he reluctantly shares that he will not be walking with them. He will not be physically be present. Have you ever heard anybody that's sick, sick, sick? They say, I think I'm dying. Right? You've heard that from some people, and they are right. That somehow they know they were there in my job. As a hospital chaplain, they know they will not leave this hospital. And all the family members, all the loved friends will say, don't say that. You don't know. Sorry. But we do, that person does know something. In the last 25 years, I have learned to trust persons who say, I don't think I'm going to make it. Is that what we do with our faith? Do we look at our faith and say, you know what? I prayed for this and it didn't work. So when you put two and two together, prayer doesn't work. God is not listening. It doesn't make any difference whether you have a relationship with God or not. And Jesus here says, it does matter. Faith is not something that comes to us easily. I have been there, as I said, 25 years and also 14 years. That's altogether, who's good at math? I am not. With all of our life experiences, we know that it is difficult for us to continue to hold on to that faith. We need some help, like you're here to be helped. I am here to be helped by reading the scripture and understanding what God wants from all of us, which is to love everybody, forgive easily, and ask for forgiveness easily. But to ask forgiveness easily, you have to figure out first what you did wrong, what didn't work. And you don't blame God or Jesus when you pray and it doesn't work. I have been asked to leave a circle of faithful friends and family and pastor, I should say preacher, that if you do not completely believe that God's going to turn around this person's life who is on life support, it won't work. So you need to excuse yourself. And trained as a chaplain, I hold both things in my hand. Implicit faith and knowledge of medicine. We know when certain people are at a certain stage of cancer, there's no turning back. It's just a matter of time. A prayer cannot make that cancer disappear. But some people understand, and faithfully so, that if you do not pray with all of your faith, you can change things. That's a struggle for me. Sometimes I want to pray, and I do pray, that somebody will make it through surgery or through cancer. And it works. And other times it doesn't. So how am I to hold on, and how am I to help you hold on to faith? And I always go back to balancing those two. Knowledge is important. What we know is important. And all of you know you're going to die one day. And I don't mean to surprise you, I hope. My wife and I have been talking about death. Between the two of us, based on what we know, I think I'll go first. But I don't want to. I don't want her to live without me and bearing as much as she needs to bear, where I can now help her and she can help me. It's hard. How many of you have been married for 20 years or more? Okay. Can you imagine life without your spouse? And some of you who didn't raise your hand aren't with somebody that who's already passed that you loved. Whether it's a husband, wife, child, or a parent or grandparent. My kids are growing up with never having any grandparents. So they don't know what it's like. But one of them, my son-in-law, gave us a blue-eyed, blonde-haired little baby girl. Love her to death. But that may not be the right thing to say. Just love her for her innocence, for the way that she just took my wife first before me, because she likes women more than men. And so it was easier for her to connect to my wife. And it took her about 2 to 3 years before she did this. It's what we call hug-me-downs. What are hug-me-downs? Do you know what hug-me-downs are? Okay. So you stand. Sorry, I know I'm going to mess up the camera. We stand in front of the couch. The first time that she did was to run from about 4 or 5 feet and jump on us, and we have to fall on the couch. And that's something that we introduced to her. Well, that was when she was 4 years old. Now she is 7. And when she runs, you can't see her. She's around the corner, almost down the hall, and she runs this way, and we get to see her coming, and then she runs. I'm like, oh my gosh, my wife's going to have a hard time dealing with this hug. And she just takes us down onto the couch because she weighs enough now. But God sent her to us and sent us to her. She has no grandfather other than me. She has grandmothers but not involved in her life. The relationship is important to trust that we would hold on to her and fall back and we will both be safe. In a similar way, God stands through Christ, through the Scriptures, waiting for you to run. God will hold you. God will embrace you and keep you safe. There's not another thing I want in life than that. My family is important. My wife is important. As you know, we broke up 5 times altogether. But that was 37 years ago. My own family said, I'll give them 4 years. They'll be divorced. I want to laugh in their face today. 37 years, and I hate to use this term, and I really don't like it. She's not my best friend, but she is my family. You don't divorce a family member. But if you have gone through, I'm the first person to say, if you are abused by your spouse, I'll help you to get that divorce. There's many people who find the wrong partner. And they need to be let go and hold on to the relationships that are important to you because God has sent them. And it's our work together, just like my wife. We're not a perfect couple. Do I give her the silent treatment? Do I pout? Oh, yeah. She'll be the first one to tell you. How you know Ravi Isaiah is behaving at home is he goes downstairs by himself without saying a word. I did that about 3 years ago. After being with my wife that many years, we are just human beings trying to do the best that we can. I think there was some kind of song that God is watching us and traveling with us on a bus. Anybody remember that? No. Okay, that's all. You know I'm not a song person. And anytime somebody says, can you pick hymns for the thing? No. That's not me. I know how to preach, but I don't know which hymns and things like that that would connect. And I do appreciate whoever's helping you, Pam, that they're able to put this together, and I only have a little piece of that. And I thank God for that. Let us pray. Giver of gifts to each of us that are unique. We don't compare them. What's better than the other? We just acknowledge that you called us to be with each other, to bring out the best in us. Just as Jesus brought out the best in the disciples, the apostles, so that they would impart God's love, God's forgiveness, God's acceptance of anyone is a powerful stance for a Christian. Help us to be that better each day. And this we ask in your Son's name and our Savior and through the Holy Spirit. Amen.